Baruch Hashem Adonai, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my partner in life and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, Havarim, and just a quick reminder, besides your Bible, be sure you have some pen and paper to take some notes as we will be doing an overview of the book of Revelation for the next few weeks. We believe Jesus is really coming soon, and what a manual for life that we have been blessed with. So first, let's ask our Abba Father to be with us.
Okay. Heavenly El Shaddai, we covet your presence and your divine protection. Bless our faithful listeners. May they have the mind of Christ for essential understanding. And may you anoint our lips with your Holy Spirit to speak only your truth. We recognize these are turbulent days, and many are the afflictions of the righteous. But we also know you will and do carry us through them all. Please pull on the hearts of our loved ones for salvation, and to those who are lukewarm to rekindle the fire of your love. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Do you have any important news to share today?
Well, We assume most know we have another Supreme Court Justice, Brett Kavanaugh. We have been inundated with it really over many weeks, but was publicly sworn in this week, so we'll see how he does.
You know, he wasn't our best choice, as stated in your last newsletter, but we do think he was unfairly treated by the Democrats.
Yes, it was quite a fiasco, and let me say, I was raised in a Democratic home, but my mother today would not recognize her party. They have swung so far to the left, it's like good versus evil. There's a dangerous great divide that we have seen happen right before our eyes.
Yeah, and on Matthew 24:7, it says, ethnos against ethnos, and in the Greek means people will rise up against other people.
Like another civil war in the United States is brewing. Trump supporters, especially in Congress, are getting numerous death threats.
Yeah, there's some serious stuff happening in our country.
Well, let's call it what it is. Increased demonic activity. And not because more demons have just decided to show up. Rather, the unrighteous are summoning them, and there is plenty of proof of that.
Yeah, you know, if the Dems lose in November, it could get even worse.
Also, the protesters that we see are being very well paid to cause a ruckus, as from George Soros, who has multiple organizations at his beck and call. I also want to point out there's a lot of what could be just rumors. Nevertheless, we should inform you that many alternative websites say President Trump is getting ready to order indictments on those who have, in his mind, conducted treasonous acts against the United States. And since we are still under a declaration of war status since 9/11, they will be tried in a military court, which, by the way, Justice Kavanaugh supports aggressively, we are told. And that is good, because the civil courts are pretty much bought and paid for by the deep state. And perhaps the real reason the left is going bonkers.
But we'll keep you posted as more information surfaces.
By the way, Hannity Monday night hinted about it as well.
Any news on Israel?
Well, Mrs. Netanyahu is in court this week over charges she spent government money for personal goods and services. Meanwhile, Gaza still has its terrorists attacking Israel's border. And Bibi is meeting with Putin this week, again, to discuss the Syrian situation. Also, the president recently said they would unveil the peace treaty in approximately 4 months, with or without the Palestinians' approval. But it will be fair to all involved. And with the Palestinians' funding decreasing quickly, most assume they will negotiate, because money does talk, and dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, any good news going on in Syria?
Well, maybe one thing. Although I question this, it is being reported that Iran has evacuated its military T-4 base out of Homs, which Russian forces have now taken over to install S-300 air defense batteries. The Homs air base was one of the key Iranian positions in Syria, which recently has been a target of attacks by Israel. I guess that's why Russia is putting up so many defense systems.
To deter Israel? Or are they expecting other countries to attack as well?
Well, most think it is the latter, and many say World War III is about to ignite, which could be why some military analysts have reported North Korean experts at this airbase.
Makes you wonder. All right, then. You can ask us your end-time questions by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message, too, 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are much needed right now and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list to receive our newsletter with updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
By the way, we really do need your help. Donations have been really decreasing, so we do ask for your consideration to partner with us in bringing the good news of salvation and also to inspire the body of Christ to dig a little deeper into His Word, because that's the only way to get closer to Jesus.
For He is the Word, John 1:1.
Okay, today we will look at the first chapter of Revelation, for it sets the scope of things to come. And right off, Jesus wants John the Revelator, and of course us particularly, to understand His many attributes and to know exactly who He is. Then we will focus on the seven churches, because they were also literal churches in the area of Asia Minor.
Yeah, today I think that would be around Turkey's Mediterranean border.
You would be right. Literal congregations meeting in homes and converted synagogues. And chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation helps us understand the spiritual side of church history sequentially to this very day. And that's why we need to study it at least in an overview manner, which we will do. And chapters 2 and 3 also do well confirming God's timely eschatology that we will glean from the Old Testament prophets.
Like, where are we on God's calendar?
Because He really will be sounding that last trumpet very soon, as we'll review when we open the door into chapter 4. Now, unfortunately, there has been a widely circulated opinion that this book is just too complex for the average church goer.
Yeah, especially a new believer.
Well, that's just a famous lie of the enemy who wants to rob you of the whole Word of God, especially because of its unique, special blessing that we see in verse 3.
And I remember this was the first book you studied when we recommitted our lives back to Christ.
Mm-hmm. It is. Because I just felt, as with any good textbook, the answers are often found in the back of the book. Soon, I was tithing my time in God's Word, and that increased the hunger even more, which is what I think that special blessing actually is. For verse 3 tells us, if you read Revelation with understanding, which means to study it, then you are given an extra blessing that no other book in the Bible promises us.
By the way, he repeats that same blessing in the last chapter, chapter 22, verse 7.
He does. He purposely opens and closes the book of Revelation with that promise. Anyhow, we love this book, and we pray you will too, for it is a lens that focuses in the rest of the Bible. Yes, the Old Testament was written in anticipation of Revelation.
Yeah, you know, the whole Bible leads to Revelation.
Amen. like a pyramid that is built of many stones, which must have at its peak a perfect pyramid.
So it's that perfect capstone that crowns it all.
Amen. And as in all of our studies, we also try to go back to the first century closest to Jesus' time and look at Scripture through Jewish eyes, the church's heritage called Hebraic roots, that will often illuminate some very key passages of His Word. Again, as we often say, never to get legalistic, as some are.
Yeah, you know, and that is unfortunate.
It is. But rather to help us understand the phrases used and why certain customs were done during Bible days as a teaching typological tool for believers.
Anyway, that's what we do, but you know, balance is always the key.
By the way, some teach, I have to say this, some teach the entire book of Revelation has already happened, which is ridiculous and not worthy of any discussion. So, Revelation 1 introduces the book given to the apostles, given to the apostle John while on the island of Patmos near Ephesus, receiving a very descriptive vision of Jesus along with his instructions to write down exactly what he will be shown and then send it to seven particular churches in Asia. Chapter 1 alone includes 24 descriptive titles of Jesus Christ, which he later uses in the seven letters. Take the time this week to read chapter 1 and look for them.
And you'll find three of the first 24 just in verse 4 alone. He who is, who was, and who is to come.
Yes, that's three right there. So please examine the chapter yourself for the rest of them, along with your younger ones at home if you have them. It can be a fun thing to do.
Look for the answers in our next newsletter.
Okay, we can do that. Now, in verse 12 through 16, still in chapter 1, John looked and saw seven golden lampstands with Jesus Christ in the midst in very fine array, shining like the sun. Seven lampstands is a symbol for the church. And we know this because he confirms it in verse 20.
Don't we see these seven lamps later in chapter 4?
Yes, we do. And this is a great teaching moment because now we see them, us, the church, in heaven, which is why I believe chapter 4 is the rapture chapter before the tribulation begins in chapter 6.
That alone is a huge sign for pre-tribbers to glean from.
And share with the post-tribbers, as they are called. Also, the menorah, the only light in the temple, is these seven lampstands. And now in the world is really what we call the seven lampstands. It's called the menorah, which is why I love to wear one as jewelry, because the menorah represents the church.
With Jesus in the center.
Yeah. So now verse 17 through 20 shows us how John is already overwhelmed by this sign. He falls on his face and Jesus comforts him and gives more instruction on the tenses, past, present, and future, to be written. What he just saw,
the vision in chapter 1.
Then to write the things which are,
the church age of chapter 2 and 3.
Which chronicles the 2,000-year gap between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 9. And then the things which will happen after that.
After the church age.
Right. Which ends at the rapture in chapter 4. And then to the end when we return to earth with him as his wife.
Revelation 19:7.
Yes, and continues clear into eternity with God himself coming to earth with the new Jerusalem.
You know what? Our future is amazing.
It really is. Exciting. Okay, now chapter 2 begins the description of the church age, which we will study chronologically and thereby prophetically, because These seven particular churches, when taken in order, describes the condition of the church as a whole, prophetically, from the beginning to the soon end, where we are today. And by the way, sevens are used 54 times in Revelation alone and means complete. Ephesus begins from the time of the apostles to about the year 100 AD. Then we will look at Smyrna in the years 100 to 312. Then Pergamos covers the years 312 to about 606. And then Thyatira from 606. And by the way, is still here today. As is Sardis, which broke away from Thyatira in 1517. And is also here today. And then the Revival Age from about 1730. And still here today in some form. And finally, there is the Laodicean Church Age from the middle 1900s and thriving even more so today, but sadly prominent in these end days. It's the lazy church. But anyway, we'll be looking at all of these and how they might affect you personally too as well. Because besides the prophetic, there are three more applications applied to these churches. First, the local and validated actual real seven out of many churches in John's day, each with different circumstances, and as I said, taken just in the order that the Lord gives it, we see consecutive church history. Then, we must see it as admonitory, because it can apply to any of the other churches as well, certain aspects. And there were many small groups around at the time, which is why these seven particular letters all went to all the churches. And praise the Lord, we can still read about them today. And then a very important application is what they are also called homiletic or personal. And it's to anyone who has an ear. We can apply what it says to our own lives, as you will see over the next few weeks. Now, here's the outline for each letter. Each church has an opening, and that's, of course, its name. Then a title of Jesus Christ from chapter 1. And this is how you get a flavor for the substance of each letter by the title he uses for himself. That, by the way, is different in each letter. Every letter is coordinated in detail. Then, each letter, except for two, contains a commendation. Then, each letter, except for two, contains a criticism. Then, each letter has either a corrections or an exhortation. And then each letter has a closure with a call. And finally, a promise with a challenge to overcome. Along with, he who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's an important ending that we'll be talking about in the coming weeks. Now let me stress again, it's important you also do your own homework by reading chapters 2 and 3 on your own at one sitting to get an even better flavor of what's going on. But I will summarize and give you some valuable hints as to what to look for, because that's what a teacher's job is, just to stir you up to do your own homework, and that's what I hope we do. And we still have a few minutes, so let's look at the first one described that began the church age during the days of the apostles, the church at Ephesus. And by the way, each church name has an underlying specific meaning, as Ephesus means darling. And this was the years between 33 and 100 AD. You see, they started out gung-ho, but then lost that first love of intimacy, that espousal love. Can any of you relate to that? Well, I can, because in my early years, I too lost my first love with Christ. so very glad I returned, and to a much deeper love for sure. Most should be familiar with Ephesus because Paul as well wrote an epistle to the Ephesians where he wrote about marriage and love and compared it with Jesus and his bride. Paul even set up missionary headquarters there, and later John returned there after Patmos, and many believe it's then that John actually wrote his gospel, after he had that amazing revelation, because John's gospel is just as mystical and organized with sevens. It's just not quite as obvious as Revelation. Also, before next week, you should read Acts 18 through 20 for background on Ephesus, especially chapter 20, where Luke continues to warn of wolves that come to draw them away from the true God. And 35 years later, Jesus Christ, through John, writes to Ephesus that they passed that test, but meanwhile lost their passionate love. Jesus also tells them he walks among them and is glad they hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which was just getting a foothold in the church. Its meaning, to rule over the people. And we'll talk more about that in the next church next week when it really begins to flourish. So, Ephesus, that held on to tradition but lost the hunger to grow closer to him. Keep that in mind. You see, every part of our being should be consumed with Christ, seeking out more of his truths in continual pursuit, never ending. That's not what the majority say, or they say, "Well, I read the Bible once. God's cool. He understands me. He knows my heart." Well, yes, he does. And he also sees that many today prefer a secular hobby over spending time with him in his word. It's okay to have hobbies, but the Lord's word should be above it all. The Lord says to repent of this, or he will remove their lampstand. Well, guess what? He did. In the 3rd century, by the conquest of the Goths, it became a heap of ruins and a cornfield. Well, let me just say, are you sure you're saved? Having your name on a church roster doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just like sitting in the garage doesn't make you a car. Being a good and decent person does not even get you into heaven. You must have a personal relationship with your Savior. You say you think you do, but how do you know for sure? You will have an insatiable desire to get closer by consuming His Word as much and as often as possible. A passionate love for Him to know Him more. And that's all of it. Then just fellowship with like-minded people and spread the good news. Freedom is yours. No church rules or regulations. Just that hunger to feast on His Word. The more you feast, the hungrier you will get. It's really an amazing transformation that God does, not yourself, lest anyone should boast. I must leave you now, and I'll leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you that peace, that shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in all ways of your life. Psalm 122, verse 6. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful week. And be sure to spend time in His Word. Read Revelation 1, 2, and 3. And we'll be back again next week. God bless. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.